This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi there, Life Kit listener. We don't have to tell you that 2020 has been chaotic. The coronavirus pandemic has turned all our lives upside down. Suddenly, the straightforward parts of life, like going to the grocery store, felt scary and uncertain. Plans for school and work dramatically changed, not to mention the unbelievable amount of loss. And we know it's not over yet. But through every twist and turn of this exceptional time, Life Kit has been here to be an ambassador of sanity. From our coverage on coping with anxiety to finding virtual therapy, from confronting microaggressions at home to having tough conversations about race and identity in the workplace, from caring for elders amidst the pandemic while remembering to care for ourselves. Everyone needs a little help being human, now more than ever. So if Life Kit has helped you stay grounded this year, we have a favor to ask. We want to continue to be your support system in the new year. And one way for that to happen is for you to donate to your local public radio station. Just go to donate.npr.org/lifekit. Once again, that's donate.npr.org/lifekit. And please consider donating if you have the means. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Christy Demers Kroll from St. Petersburg, Florida. I gotta say, I love your show. It's getting me through quarantine. And another quarantine tip I'd like to share with you is to get through without a pedicure at night before bed. Take your well-washed and exfoliated feet, coat them with petroleum jelly, put on socks, go to bed, and voila, in the morning, your feet will be nice and moisturized, but you're on your own for the polish. Bye.
I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji, and this is NPR's Life Kit. I'm having more conversations about running these days than I've ever had before. People in my life are either talking about how running is the only thing keeping them sane, or they're smack-talking runners who aren't wearing masks and getting too close for comfort. It's strange that I've spent so much time discussing a thing that is so not my thing. But my guest today says he has a spiel that will get most people, even someone like me, to go for a jog, and not just one, many. His running philosophy involves the letter G, start gradually, set goals, and find a group to run with. I know you're like, how am I supposed to do the last thing right now? Keep listening, because my guest has all the answers. His name is Peter Sagal, and he wrote a book about running, but you may know him as the host of NPR's news quiz, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Support for NPR and the following message come from our sponsor, Whole Foods Market. Host a celebratory brunch for less with 365 by Whole Foods Market, featuring wallet-happy finds like cold smoked Atlantic salmon, mini quiches, organic everything bagels, and more. Plus, visit the floral department and jazz up your table with a beautiful bouquet of big, bright, sourced-for-good flowers. When the brunch has to be perfect and delicious, go to your local Whole Foods Market.
Peter, I'm so excited to meet you. Longtime listener. First-time caller.
Excited to meet you, too. Thank you. Thank you. Shireen in a car phone, you're next.
I hear you have a whole spiel about why people should start running.
I have lots of spiels, but that's my favorite.
Is it? Sell me on this torturous activity. I challenge you, because I absolutely abhor running.
Yeah, a lot of people do. many of us were brought up to believe that running was punishment.
Oh, definitely.
All right, guys, give me two laps.
Yes.
And we have learned or at least internalized, that running is this terrible, boring thing that we're forced to do. None of those things should be true. It should be possible that we can just be in our bodies in that moment and just pursue that activity.
Hmm.
We live these days in a way that is really strange,
yeah,
evolutionarily speaking. We spend most of our days with other people's thoughts in our brains. We look at screens, we listen to podcasts, and it's gotten to the point, I don't know if you've done this, but sometimes, I mean, we can't bear, it seems, an extended period of time without somebody else's input.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if there's one thing that we, I think, need is a chance to go outside, get out of our heads, into our bodies, move, and just let our own thoughts have a say.
So if that spiel worked for the people out there who are listening right now, maybe they're like me and they've noticed that all you fancy runner types also have fancy belts that you can put baby water bottles in, and you have this reflective gear, and you have expensive running shoes. So if that spiel worked on them and they're going to do this, are they going to have to spend a bunch of money on gear to get started?
No! This is another great thing about running. You don't need specialized equipment. You don't need a hockey stick. You don't need a class. You don't even need to listen to me or read a book like the one I wrote about how to do it. You were born ready to do it. All you need is clothes appropriate for where you are and the weather. You need good shoes, but they don't have to be specialized running shoes. They can be sneakers. They can be gym shoes. They can be any shoe that is comfortable, flexible, and tight on your feet so that your feet don't slide around in them. That's it. And that's enough to get you started. Yes, some of the stuff that we runners spend our money on is worth it, but there's nothing keeping you from doing it. Just go out and run.
Okay, so you've got your shoes on and they are comfortable.
Yep.
But they're not loose. They're nice and tight and comfy.
Loose shoes will give you blisters. Don't do that.
Okay, so you're ready to go. Okay, now what? Where do you start if you haven't run in a very, very long time?
This is very important. You have to start gradually, and you have to set goals for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Gradually means that you have to give yourself enough of a challenge so that you can feel good about meeting it and that it will give you benefit, because we all know we need a little strain on our system to improve it, our heart, our lungs, our muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But not so difficult that it's miserable and you fail. There's a saying from, you know, bodybuilding and weightlifting, you know, train to failure. Don't do that, because all you'll learn is how to fail. And what there are a lot of, I don't know how many, infinite numbers of plans online that go under the generic name couch to 10K. Or couch to 5K.
Yes, I've seen that.
Just as long as it's a reputable site and weren't trying to sell you anything, take a look. And what you'll find is they'll say, okay, you're indolent, you haven't run in a long time, you're not in great shape, this is how you get started. And what it will do is it'll set out goals every day or every other day. And each goal will be a little bit harder, but each goal will give you something to shoot for. Like today, I'm going to walk, run for 20 minutes. I'm going to walk a block, run a block, walk a block, run a block. And then you're going to go out and you're going to do it the next day or the day after. You're going to do a similar thing, maybe a little bit harder. And the first couple of weeks are going to be difficult. You're not used to this. But here's the promise. You will improve faster than you ever thought it was possible.
Really?
Yeah, you really will.
Peter, can I interrupt you for 2 seconds? Because I always get stuck on that first run. I'm so incredibly sore after that initial run that I just lose the will to get back out there. And
well, what is a typical first run for you?
I have a little trail over here by my house.
Yeah.
And it's not even 2 miles.
Okay.
And so this is what I do. I do this all the time. Like every 6 months, I'm like, I'm going to start running. We're going to do this. I'll take that 2 miles. I will not be able to walk for like 3 days after. And then I never go back out there again. Or I go back out there 6 months later and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try this again.
Right. Miserable. So do you try to run the entire 2 miles out and then 2 miles back?
Of course I do, Peter.
Well, you are my great counterexample. Don't be like Shireen.
Walking is failure. That's how I feel.
No, wrong. You know what? If you want to define failure, define failure as giving up after one try. So you don't say to yourself, oh, I'm going to go try to run four miles. And if I fail at this, I'm going to be upset with myself and tell myself this is something I can't do and say this sucks. No, you just guaranteed that you're going to fail. So instead, take it piece by piece. You don't have to run the whole 2 miles and back. Run out half a mile.
Mm.
Run back. Run, walk half a mile. When you finish your first workout and the subsequent workouts, your runs, they should have felt difficult. You put strain, you had to put effort in, you had to think about it. You had to there were moments there where you had to say, okay, just 2 more seconds, I can get through this. But they should have been doable.
Okay.
And that's, by the way, a segue into my second G, which is goal. My usual advice is that 5K. When I said couch to 5K, 5K means 5 kilometers, and that's a distance, but it's also an extremely common running event. And you can sign up for $30 to $60 mm-hmm. or whatever, and you can say to yourself, there's a 5K in 3 months. I'm going to get out every day. I'm going to use this program. I'm going to train every day, because every day I'm going to think to myself, I'm not just running to punish myself. I'm running to get better, so that on that day, I'm going to show up with another group of people and I'm going to get a t-shirt mm-hmm. and I'm going to eat a banana and I'm going to run 5 kilometers. That's 3.1 mm-hmm. miles without stopping, which is something that right now I can't do. I'm going to do it on that day. And when I cross that finish line, I'm going to get a medal. Medals are great. I'm going to get a medal. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make you feel great. Now, the best way to do that, by the way, is to do it with friends. And that's what I mean by group. Running, we most people think of as a solitary activity, and it often is. And it has benefits as a solitary meditative activity. But it's also a great thing to do with other people. And you benefit tremendously by doing it with other people. If your schedule today calls for, say, a 2 mile run, if it's just you, you'll probably blow it off. But if Karen or Bob or whomever is waiting for you at the corner where you agreed to meet, you're going to show up.
Yeah.
Or call up your local running store or your local running group. Google name of your town, region, county running group. They're very welcoming. Nobody will judge you. You'll find that there'll be people at your level, even better, people just above your level. So they inspire you to keep up with them.
Mm-hmm. What do people gain from running that is not just physical strength?
Well, obviously there is physical benefits, but beyond the obvious, one of the things that I have found is that they call running, swimming, biking, endurance sports for a reason, in that you learn to endure. You learn things like, if you don't worry about all the miles you have to run, and you just think about the mile you're in and what you need to get through that mile, and you do that again and again, eventually you'll have run all the miles that you had to run.
Hmm.
That if you learn that discomfort is not a reason to stop, but a reason to focus and think and try to either go through it or relieve it through changing your ways, then all of a sudden discomfort and difficulty isn't as frightening.
Yeah.
And basically, you learn a lot about yourself. That you can accomplish things that you have been taught and trained and allowed yourself to believe are beyond the capability of someone like yourself.
That was really inspiring.
That's why I'm here.
Even for someone like me who is very skeptical about running. So thank you for that, Peter.
My pleasure.
All right, before we go, I want to do something with you, and I hope that you're game.
Okay.
Are you down to play a game I'm calling Bluff the Guest?
Sure, do it.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. I'm going to read you 3 quotes, and you're going to have to guess which one is from the world-famous long-distance runner, Haile Gebrselassie from mm-hmm. Ethiopia. Are you familiar with Haile?
I am, one of the greatest runners to ever live.
Awesome. Okay, quote number one. Who knew something that made me feel so good would also make me famous? Quote number two. When I wake up at 5 a.m, is it just to jog? Definitely not. I give it all of my effort. Quote number 3. I actually wanted to be a footballer, but I was no good, so I run now. I won't lie. It's not nearly as fun. All right, Peter, those are 3 quotes, and one of them belongs to 2-time Olympic gold medalist and long-distance runner Haile Gebrselassie from Ethiopia. Which one was his quote?
All right. And you're not, this isn't a trick question. Like, they're not all 3 of them.
Nope.
Right?
I wouldn't do that to you.
I could hear him say any of them. All right. Because I do that to people all the time, just so you know. So I wouldn't put it beyond anybody else. The first one is the one I want to be true.
Uh-huh.
But the third one could also be true. I could easily see that becoming a famous quote. But because I'm in an optimistic and encouraging mood, I'm going to go for number one.
Number one, who knew something that made me feel so good would also make me famous? You are wrong, Peter.
Oh, you see, that's what I get from being too optimistic.
So it's number two, when I wake up at 5 a.m, is it just to jog? Definitely not. I give it all of my effort.
Yeah, I could easily hear him saying that.
Hailey's not playing.
No, none of those guys
are. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Peter. This was really fun.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
For more episodes of NPR's Life Kit, go to npr.org/lifekit. We have episodes on all sorts of topics, from how to manage anxiety to how to start a garden. If you love Life Kit and want more, subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/lifekitnewsletter. Also, we want to hear your tips. What are you doing to cope right now? Leave us a voicemail at 202-216-9823 or email us at lifekit@npr.org. This episode was produced by Claire Schneider, Megan Kane is the managing producer, and Beth Donovan is our senior editor. I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji. Thanks for listening.
Frogs pooping beetles, featherless flying reptiles, stinky chatty cheese. We got it all on Wow in the World, the NPR podcast for kids. I'm Mindy Thomas, inviting you to join me and Guy Raz for an animated scientific adventure of the mind. It's Wow in the World from Tinkercast and NPR. Listen now.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how her team makes an impact.
We always do what we like to think of as actionable science. So the work that we do makes its way to things like nutrition and physical activity guidelines for cancer.org, where millions of people come each year to learn about how they can better prevent cancer.
To learn more, go to cancer.org.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Charles Schwab with their original podcast, Choiceology. Hosted by Katie Milkman, an award-winning behavioral scientist and author of the best-selling book, How to Change. Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind people's decisions. Hear true stories from Nobel laureates, authors, athletes, and more about why people do the things they do. Download the latest episode and subscribe at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.